Welcome to Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler. I'm Kent Blanford. Each week, we'll bring you a sampling of some of the best Catholic podcasts being prepared and shared out there on the internet. A number of Catholic radio entities out there produce some great podcasts as part of their ministry. Here at Catholic Radio Indy, we have some that we hope are a blessing to our loyal listeners. The Sons of Melchizedek, Faith in Action, Go Rebuild My Church, The Catholic Cave, and this show, the Lunchtime Podcast Sampler, to name just a few. Some of the content from those other Catholic radio entities become part of our programming here at Catholic Radio Indy, and so we're always looking for new and unique programming to offer. Our General Manager Emeritus Jim Ganley came across a program from the good folks at the Living Bread Radio Network that I couldn't help but want to share because, well, to be completely honest, I'm a game show addict and a trivia junkie. And when you combine those with strong Catholic content, well, I'm hooked. So starting off today's sampler is Episode 1 of the Living Bread Radio Network's Catholic Challenge 2.0 with Barbara G. and P.J. Chavez.
This is Catholic Challenge, a quiz show that tests your knowledge of the Catholic faith. From altar to zealot and amice to wimple, we've got the questions to test your mettle. Take up your shield and raise your sword. It's time to stand firm in the glory of the Lord. Are you up to the challenge? Catholic Challenge 2.0 is here. Are you ready? And now, here is your host, Barbara G.
Hello, and welcome to Catholic Challenge 2.0, an exclusive production of the Living Bread Radio Network. I'm your host, Barbara G., and with me today is my co-host, P.J. Chavez. Hey, P.J., how you doing?
Hey, Barb, I'm fantastic, thanks. Thank you so much.
Well, listeners, we're going to spend the next 30 minutes testing your knowledge of the Catholic faith. Are you up to the challenge? I hope so. But before we begin to play, we have to learn the rules. P.J., let's give our listeners the rules.
All right, well, here are the rules. We will ask 10 multiple choice questions in the first three rounds. Each correct answer is worth 10 points. For classroom, homeschooling, or team play, you can download our free scoring sheet at livingbreadradio.com. Now the fourth and final round is the challenge round. This round increases the difficulty since no multiple choice answers will be provided. And each correct answer in that round is worth 30 points.
All right, I hope you're ready. Let's get started. Round one begins right now. Here's question number one. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, who was the king of Judea at the time of the birth of Jesus? Was it Joseph, David, or Herod the Great? And the answer is Herod the Great. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod. Question number 2. What is it called when all the bishops of the world gather together under the authority of the Pope to consider matters affecting the future direction of the whole church? Is it a grand meeting, an ecumenical council, or an audience? And the answer is an ecumenical council. There have been 21 ecumenical councils in the church's 2,000-year history. Question number 3. Both of these saints were disciples of St. Paul. Both became bishops in the early church. Each has a book of the New Testament named for him. They share a feast day on January 26th. Is it Cosmas and Damian, Timothy and Titus, or Francis and John? The answer, Timothy and Titus. Little is known about these saints apart from the references to them in the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul's epistles. Question number 4. From the Gospel of Matthew, to whom did Jesus say, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it"? Peter, James, or John? And the answer is Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, "I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." Question number 5. Which of these names is not used for the sacrament of reconciliation? Confession, penance, or anointing? And the answer is anointing. No matter the title of this sacrament, a person's sins are forgiven by Jesus through the priest.
Question number 6. Who is the third person of the Blessed Trinity? Is it Jesus? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it the Blessed Mother? And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, is God, one and equal with the Father and the Son, of the same substance and also of the same nature. Question number 7. Who asked Jesus to sit at his right and his left when he came in glory? Was it his own mother Mary? Was it the mother of James and John? Or was it the mother of Maccabees? And the answer, the mother of James and John. Matthew 20:23 says that Jesus replied, "To sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Question number 8. What is the feast on which we celebrate Mary being taken up into heaven? Is it the Assumption? Is it the Annunciation? Or is it Pentecost? And the answer is the Assumption. On November 1st, 1950, Pius XII defined the dogma of the Assumption, solemnly proclaiming that the Blessed Virgin Mary, at the close of her earthly life, was taken up body and soul into heaven. The solemnity of the Assumption is celebrated on August 15th. Question number 9. From Matthew chapter 3, in what bodily form did the Holy Spirit show himself at the baptism of Jesus? Was it a dove? Was it an angel? Or was it lightning? And the answer is a dove. Matthew chapter 3:16 says that after Jesus was baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. Question number 10, true or false? In Catholic teaching, a dogma may change. And the answer is false. A dogma is solemnly defined by the Church. It is an essential belief.
All right, PJ, that wraps up round one. We're going to take our first break, listeners. But before we go to break, we're going to leave you with a bonus question worth 25 points. And here's our bonus question. May 1st is a special feast day of this saint. He is the patron saint of workers. We'll give you the answer when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Challenge 2.0 on the Living Bread Radio Network.
St. Jerome said, "Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ." That's why the Living Bread Radio Network opens up the Scriptures each and every day with their podcast, Liturgy of the Word. You'll hear the daily Mass readings and reflection, along with sacred liturgical music. Stay in touch with the Church with Liturgy of the Word podcast. Subscribe for free or listen directly from the Living Bread Radio app or at livingbreadradio.com. You can even ask Alexa to play Liturgy of the Word.
Welcome back to Catholic Challenge 2.0. We left you with a bonus question before the break. Now we're going to give you the answer.
All right. May 1st is a special feast day of this saint. He is the patron saint of workers. What answer did you find? The answer is Saint Joseph. Catholics celebrate the feast of St. Joseph the Worker in May, on May 1st. But in many countries around the world, it is a legal holiday called May Day. This feast day was established in 1955 by Pope Pius XII.
All right, we hope you got that bonus question. That would get you 25 more points. If you have gotten them all right, you have 125 points. Okay, we're going to move into round two. All these questions are worth 10 points. Question number one, what do we call the main laws given to Moses in the Old Testament? Are they the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, or prophecy? The answer, the Ten Commandments. The Greek term for the Ten Commandments is the Decalogue. Question number two, the liturgical act or rite by which a person is consecrated to the priesthood is called what? Baptism, ordination, or confirmation? The answer is ordination. The word ordination comes from the Latin word ordinatio, which means to incorporate someone into an order. In the Sacrament of Holy Orders, a man is incorporated into the priesthood of Christ at one of three levels, the episcopate, or as a bishop, the priesthood, or the diaconate. Question number three. This saint is mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. He battled Satan and his evil angels and threw them out of heaven. Was it St. Michael, St. Gabriel, or St. Raphael? The answer, St. Michael. In Revelation 12, it says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven." Question number four. After Moses killed the Egyptian in the book of Exodus, where did he go to escape Pharaoh? Did he go to Midian, Mount Sinai, or Jerusalem? The answer, Midian. In Exodus chapter 2, when Pharaoh heard of the affair, that is, of Moses killing the Egyptian, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to the land of Midian. Question number five, true or false? Infants need not be baptized because they have never committed personal sin. That statement is false. Infants do need to be baptized. Baptism is the first sacrament. It is the doorway to all the other sacraments, and it washes away the original sin of Adam and Eve.
Question number six. This Polish saint had visions of Jesus and wrote a diary about divine mercy. She was canonized by Pope St. John Paul II. Was it St. Elizabeth Ann Seton? Was it St. Teresa of Calcutta? Or was it St. Faustina? And the answer was St. Faustina. St. Faustina is known as the Secretary of Divine Mercy. Her diary was published to share the revelations of Jesus' mercy to her. She was canonized on April 30th, 2000. Question number seven. From Luke chapter 2, who was the Roman emperor at the time of the birth of Jesus? Was it Caesar Augustus? Was it Tiberius? Or was it Plato? And the answer is Caesar Augustus. Luke chapter 2 verse 1 says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled." Question number 8. Which of the following is not a joyful mystery of the Rosary? The Annunciation, the birth of Jesus, or the Resurrection? And the answer is the Resurrection. The joyful mysteries are the Annunciation, the Visitation, the Nativity, the Presentation, and finding Jesus in the temple. Question number 9. True or false? The Pope, bishops, and priests do not need to receive the sacrament of confession. And that answer is false. We are all sinners. Even the Pope, bishops, and priests need to be cleansed of their sins in the sacrament of penance. Pope Francis says that he goes to confession every 2 weeks. And question number 10. What Old Testament prophet was unhappy that God would forgive the sins of Nineveh? He actually boarded a ship to avoid God's call to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh. Was it Jeremiah? Was it Jonah? Or was it Amos? And the answer was Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter 4, tells the story of Jonah's discussion with God about his great mercy on the city of Nineveh.
All right, that's question number 10. That wraps up round 2. We're going to take our second break here on the Living Bread Radio Network. But before we go to break, we're going to leave you with another bonus question worth 25 points. Here's your bonus question. How many shepherd children saw the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, Portugal, in 1917? How many shepherd children? We'll give you the answer on the other side of the break. You're listening to Catholic Challenge 2.0 on the Living Bread Radio Network. We'll be right back.
The Living Bread Radio Network has been proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ with our programming for over 15 years. Through our radio network, streaming platforms, podcasts, and community events, we've touched countless numbers of people with the good news of the gospel. This would not have been possible without the financial support of you, our listeners. If you find value in the work that we do here each and every day, show your support right now by going to livingbreadradio.com and click on Donate.
All right, welcome back to the Living Bread Radio Network. You're listening to Catholic Challenge 2.0. We left you with a bonus question right before the break. Now we're going to give you the answer.
All right, the question was how many shepherd children saw the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, Portugal in 1917? The answer is 3. The 3 shepherd children are Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. Jacinta and Francisco both died before their 11th birthday and are now canonized saints. Lucia lived until 2005. She was 98 years old when she died.
Wow. All right, now we're going to move into round 3. Catholic Challenge 2.0, round 3. Here's your first question. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, St. Paul said, "This is the greatest of all the virtues, and without it, I am nothing." Is it faith, hope, or love? The answer is love. 1 Corinthians 13, "If I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." Question number 2. In which liturgical season do we prepare for Christmas? Is it Advent, Ordinary Time, or Lent? The answer, Advent. In the Catechism, number 524, when the Church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, we share in the longing preparation for the Savior's first coming. The faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming. Question number 3. This saint wiped the face of Jesus on his way to the cross. Jesus left an imprint of his faith on her cloth. Is it Saint Simon, Saint Veronica, or Saint Mary Magdalene? The answer is Saint Veronica. In the 6th station of the cross, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. The name Veronica means true image. Question number 4. Where is the Eucharist reserved for adoration and distribution to the sick? Is it in the tabernacle, the ambo, or the sacristy? The answer? The tabernacle. Even in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was considered to be the earthly dwelling place of God. Question number 5. Which of these is the highest order of angels? An angel, an archangel, or a seraphim? The answer is a seraphim. Mentioned in Isaiah 6, it says, "Seraphim are the highest angelic class, and they serve as the caretakers of God's throne and continuously sing, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'"
All right, question number 6. According to tradition, who are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar? Were they the men in the fiery furnace? Were they the three wise men? Or were they the first canonized saints? And the answer is, they were the three wise men. These three wise men brought the baby Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Question number 7, true or false? Sin can weaken or destroy our lives as God's children. And the answer is true. The 7 deadly sins are pride, greed, rage, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. Question number 8. Who were the sisters of Lazarus? Were they Perpetua and Felicity? Were they Martha and Mary? Or were they Agnes and Agatha? And the answer is, they were Martha and Mary. One familiar story of the sisters of Lazarus is in John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Question number 9, true or false? The first 5 books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch. And the answer is true. For the most part, both Jewish and Christian tradition credit Moses with primary authorship of the Pentateuch, which includes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Question number 10. What idol was worshipped by the Hebrews while Moses was receiving the 10 commandments on the mountain? Was it the golden calf? Was it a sacred pillar? Or was it a golden Ashtar? And the answer is a golden calf. Exodus chapter 32 tells the story of the Hebrews convincing Aaron to make them a golden calf that they might worship.
All right, moving on. All right, we're wrapping up round 3, PJ. We're going to take our final break, listeners. But before we take our break, we're going to give you one more bonus question. And each bonus question is worth 25 points. So this bonus question, you'll earn 25 points. And here's the question. What psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want"? What number psalm is that? We'll give you the answer when we come back. You're listening to Catholic Challenge 2.0 on the Living Bread Radio Network. We'll be back in a moment.
It's the first platform of its kind anywhere. It's great Catholic music. Your home for sacred hymns and contemporary favorites 24 hours a day. A great way to draw closer to the Lord through beautiful music. It's perfect to listen to at home with the kids, at work, or during your daily devotions. Listen any time of day at greatcatholicmusic.com. Download the free app or ask any Alexa-enabled device to play great Catholic music.
All right, welcome back. We have gone through 3 rounds already, PJ. Time moves on. And we are getting ready to move into the exciting challenge round. But we left a question with you before we went to break, and now we'll give you the answer.
All right, that question was this. What psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want"? And the answer is Psalm 23. One of the most popular verses in Psalm 23 is verse 4. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me."
A famous, famous song. I hope you got that one right. Psalm 23. Okay, we're going to move into the challenge round. The challenge round is a little bit different. And PJ, why don't you give our listeners the rules for the challenge round?
The fourth and final round is the challenge round. This round increases the difficulty since no multiple choice answers will be provided, and each correct answer in that round is worth 30 points.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. Who are the first two children mentioned in the Bible in the book of Genesis? The answer is Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4 tells the story of the conception of Cain and Abel, whose parents are Adam and Eve.
All right, question number two. What are two types of sin? Venial is one kind, but what is the other? And the answer is mortal. The most serious sins are mortal. Mortal sins destroy the grace of God in the heart of the sinner.
Question number three. In the Bible, who was made mute when he was told by an angel that his wife would have a child? The child was John the Baptist. The answer is Zechariah. The story of the conception and the birth of John the Baptist is in Luke chapter 1. That sound means that we've run out of time, PJ, so we've got one more question for our listeners. Give it to them.
This is the last question here. Question number four. The four traditional mysteries of the rosary are joyful, sorrowful, luminous, and which other one? And that answer is the glorious mysteries. The glorious mysteries start with the resurrection of our Lord and conclude with the coronation of the Blessed Mother as Queen of Heaven and Earth.
All right, that's the match. Great, PJ, that's the match. I hope you listeners, I hope you scored well today. Remember, we learn new things every day about Jesus and his church, so keep listening to Catholic Challenge 2.0 and you'll learn more. Thanks for joining us today, and tune in again next time for another edition of Catholic Challenge 2.0 on the Living Bread Radio Network. For PJ Chavez, I'm your host, Barbara G. Thanks for listening. Praise be Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Catholic Challenge 2.0, a production of the Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio. For a podcast or archive of this program, go to livingbreadradio.com and join us next week for another edition of Catholic Challenge 2.0.
So, how did you do with Catholic Challenge 2.0? What did you think of the Catholic Challenge? We're considering adding this program to our regular offerings here on Catholic Radio Indy, and we value your input. If you would, take a moment and drop us a note at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Connect with CRI tab and then leave us a message. We'll be back with more right after this.
It really showed me God's love for me and the purpose that He has for my life.
Reminders of that hope that God does have a good plan for my life still.
The message of Christ gets out that way. It's incredible.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Next up on today's sampler is an offering from the podcast series A Catholic Priest Talks About with Father Jack. This series covers a variety of topics, and today we explore three rules for prayer. Here's Father Jack.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of A Catholic Priest Talks About. Today we're going to go over three rules for prayer. These are three rules I try to teach people. I find that it helps them a lot with consistency in their spiritual life. Consistency is one of the most important details in your spiritual life. And it's like that because all relationships, consistency is one of the most important things. Being there on a day-to-day basis is more important than big gestures. I know we like big gestures. They add color and spice to life. Absolutely. But without day-to-day consistency, big gestures don't mean anything. Think about a mother or a father, right, who gives gifts, you know, great gifts once a year, but the kid doesn't see their parent maybe at all, or maybe ever, or maybe only once a year or something. You know, maybe some people have that situation. They went through that situation. It hurts, and it doesn't develop a deep relationship. Or a husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend who came around, took you on a beautiful and dramatic date, flew you to dinner, private musicians, personal chef, I don't know, a beautiful view for the meal, maybe a long walk after the meal or a carriage ride or a boat ride to finish the evening, and then disappeared for 6 months or 9 months. Why would you marry that person? Or would you even consider staying married to a person like that if they disappeared for months at a time? Or a friend who spent an amazing vacation with you, laughing, crying, sharing or shared interests, great pictures or memories for a lifetime, and then ghosted on you for a few years. Is that person still a friend? Or at least, are they still a close friend? Those things matter. Consistency. And so, same in the relationship with God. You know, sometimes people say to me, you know, oh, why do I need God? What has he ever done for me? For me, the deeper question is, are you a good friend to God? As a priest, you know, it matters to me to help you to figure out what you think about God. If I can, I'll correct it if it's an incorrect understanding of God, because it helps you to relate to him, you know, and it affects your spiritual life. But in truth, it's actually much more important what God thinks of you. By the way, the answer is what God thinks of you is the cross. He loves you. He loves the real you. He acknowledges your sins and weaknesses and still thinks you are worth dying for. That's what the cross teaches us. It matters. So what's the response? And this is where we come into kind of how we're supposed to live our spiritual life. So you're trying to respond to God. You're trying to respond. Okay, you say, okay, if God exists, fine. And then I think he likes me. In fact, I think he loves me. I'm really going to try to live this whole Christian life thing. I'm going to try to be a good Catholic. How do I do this? Well, the virtues. The virtues help you develop. And her virtues, you develop them. And the vices, you try to avoid them. And your prayer life is what helps you develop virtues. It's in your prayers where and when God has a chance to give you, you know, strength, right? His grace, right? Sharing his health and strength to get you through your daily struggles. It's also where you wash away the frustrations or temptations and worries of the day. Prayer also is where we ask God for help with struggles and thank him for blessings, where we ask him for forgiveness when, not if, when you mess up. And it helps you keep your life oriented correctly.
All of that in your prayer life, which helps you in your spiritual life, which helps you respond to God's love. You with me so far? So you want to set up a regular prayer life. Some sort of maybe a plan of life, right? Go back if you haven't checked it out, the episode on the plan of life, on setting one up. What does that involve? Well, maybe it's a novena, or maybe you need help with finishing novena, right? Maybe you're the kind of person who's like, Father, I'm pretty good with some basic rhythm of prayer, or no, I don't have any. But I was just trying to do a novena, 9 days of prayer, and I can't do it. I forget 2 days in, or you know, 3-4 days in, I forget for 5 days. What am I supposed to do? Start over? I keep starting over. I never finish. Maybe you're praying for a specific intention. Somebody asks you to pray for something, and you're going to pray for 2 weeks. Okay, I'm going to pray for 2 weeks until the next day or that day so that I can get things ready. And then all of a sudden, things start going wrong. Or maybe you're taking, you know, maybe you made a personal vow of prayer. I'm going to do this every day, you know. Or you're just generally trying to improve. If you find yourself frustrated, then here are the 3 rules of prayer that I've learned and that I've shared for people to kind of help with their consistency in their prayer life. Rule number 1, pray. No, I'm not being smart or cute. I really mean that. Just pray. Don't worry about getting it perfect. Just do it. I don't care if you pray Christmas prayers in the middle of Good Friday. I don't care if you pray Hail Marys and you don't count them, so you don't even know if you prayed a rosary or not. I don't care if you make up the words to a novena because you lost the specific prayers, right? Or you don't have the piece of paper or the booklet that had the prayers for the novena. You don't have it, so you're just going to kind of wing it from your memory. Or maybe you can't find your phone or it doesn't work. You're going to jumble the words from your memory. What about if you arrive late for daily mass and you realize it's not in a language you understand? So what? Try. Use your phone or missalette to try to follow. Is the church closed when you wanted to make a quick prayer? Fine. Or did you miss the time for mass completely or adoration completely? Sit outside the church for 5 minutes. Pray from there. Sit in your car in front of the church. Pray from there. Wing it. Rule number 1 is pray, because it's not wrong to pray. God is our Father, and He's always happy to hear from us. I love it. I genuinely am thrilled when itty-bitty kids want to try to talk to me, even if I'm not even sure what they're saying. You know, when they're toddlers, they're just learning how to talk. They have their only few, they got a few words. Their pronunciation is not always the best. So sometimes even mom and dad or dad have to translate toddler into English for me. They just kind of say words and I go, and mom and dad jumps in and goes, he said this. Oh, okay. Those are great. Those are great moments. Do you know why? Because if a child like that tries to talk to you, you have to realize of all the things that they can think about, of all the people they can talk to, everything is brand new and amazing and exciting when you're a little kid and they want to talk to you. That's amazing. And I'm not even their father, and I'm thrilled when a kid wants to talk to me. How much more is God pleased to hear from us, His children? Too often, our need to be perfect paralyzes us, and we do nothing instead of doing something good, even if it's not perfect. Do not let the good be the enemy of the perfect. Do something, anything, and let that be enough. You can do it better another time. Just do something now. So rule number 1, pray. Don't worry about getting it perfect. Rule number 2, don't play catch up. This one is the one that bothers people the most, but hear me out. When you promised or even vowed to pray something a certain amount of times or each day or some other pattern and you missed it, don't play catch up. It's a natural instinct, but it often doesn't help. In fact, it can make it about the prayer itself and your sense of accomplishment, which you already failed, and not the relationship. Say a sincere act of contrition, you know, a sincere act of contrition, you know, just say to God you're sorry and ask for His forgiveness, and then just do the prayer you're up to. Don't play catch up. Why? Okay, imagine we are friends and we're working on something together, or we're agreeing to something, and we're not near each other, so that I have to call you. So I say, okay, I'm going to call you every single day. And this goes on for every single day. I call you every single day, but then I forget for 3 or 4 days. Whatever happens, life gets crazy, or I get stupid, and I forget to call you. And then I call you and apologize. And you forgive me, and we move on. We're like, oh, sorry about that. I meant to call you every day. Oh, don't worry about it. It's a couple days, but I was okay. And then you hang up, and the phone rings again. It shows my number. So you think, oh, this is Father forgotten something? Or did he redial me by accident? Did he butt dial me? What happened? You pick up the phone and it's me again. No, I didn't forget anything. I didn't dial you by accident. I called you again. Just another call. And we talk for a few more minutes and we hang up. And I call you again and again and again. Just to make up the missed calls. Now, you probably will be amused the first phone call. You know, after the original phone call, the first repeat phone call, you'll go, oh, okay, haha, yeah, I get it. You missed 5 days, so you're going to call me 5 times. The amusement will wear off very quickly after that. Second call, third call, you'd just be like annoyed. Why? Because it's no longer about the original plan. It's no longer about you and I. It's now about me. And it's about me trying to feel better, trying to feel like I've corrected my mistake. It's now I've made it about me, not you, not us. The same with God. If you've missed it, move forward. Playing catch up can be at best, it'll just be you trying to say, well, there, I finished it anyway, technically. Listen, you messed up. Just admit you messed up and move forward. Okay, you trying to make it up that way doesn't actually make it up. Most of the time, all that does is make you feel better about doing something. Just move forward. And two, and this is even worse, it can become so big for you to catch up that it gets frustrating, so then you don't do anything. You're trying to do a novena, you've missed 4 days, you go, at this point, I've missed so many days, it doesn't matter. And now, you haven't done anything. So you broke the first rule, which is to pray. Do you see? So don't play catch up. That's rule number two. Rule number three, pray as soon as you think of it. Okay? And this one I give credit to a Franciscan priest that I knew years ago. And we were talking once and he said, yeah, one of the other things that helps me a lot is I've learned to pray as soon as I think of it. So if I have to pray my breviary, that's the prayers that priests have to say a certain number of times a day. I just pray it as soon as I think about it. Whatever time of day is, if this is the next time, if I thought of praying it, then that's the prayer I say next. That means that when you have a set prayer to do or any prayer and it comes to mind, whether or not it's the time for the schedule, do it. If it's a bit early or even a lot early, just do it. It may well be, I really do believe this, I think it might be your guardian angel trying to remind you before you mess it up later on. Think about it. How many times have you not acted on an inspiration to pray, thinking that you'll do it later, and then you end up never doing it? It's not rare. It happens to everybody all the time. So the next time the inspiration comes, whatever the time, set your mind from now on, when an inspiration comes, to get it done. Your regular prayer life will improve. Now, it may make things a little bit of a weird moment. You might think of it in the middle of a conversation, in the middle of a meeting, in the middle of doing something else. So you might have to find a way to excuse yourself. So what? Do it. Find a way to excuse yourself. Pardon me for a second. If you had a phone call or you had to use the restroom, you'd find a way to do so. So do it. It's okay to look a little bit silly for God or to feel a little bit inconvenienced for God. It'll also make you a lot more deliberate and conscious in your prayer life. It'll also add a little bit of interesting and spice to your prayer life because you'll find yourself praying, you know, I've woken up at 2-3 in the morning just because I couldn't sleep. I don't know. I woke up and I thought of morning prayer. Okay, guess I'm doing morning prayer at 2 in the morning. It's bizarre, but it's there. And you know what? Morning prayer is done. So it's something I'm not worried about forgetting. So those are the three rules for prayer. Very simple, very short. I promise they're effective. Rule number one, just pray. Don't worry about getting it right. Don't worry about what day it is, what feast day it is, what time it is, what the right words are. Just pray. Prayer, an old definition, is the raising up of the heart and the mind to God. Just pray. Rule number two, don't play catch up. You missed it. You already messed up. Sincerely apologize. Sincerely make an act of contrition and then move forward. Do the next prayer you have to do. Rule number three, pray as soon as you think about it. If you remember it, doesn't matter what time it is, just do it. Okay, the inspiration that comes, lean into it. We often speak about temptation. We never, almost never speak about inspiration. But we get inspired at least as much as we get tempted. We just have to learn how to listen to them. So those are the three rules for prayer. Hopefully they help you give some consistency to your spiritual life. Hopefully they help you strengthen up your spiritual life and move forward in it. As always, for any questions, comments, or topics, you can email me at acatholicpriesttalks@yahoo.com. acatholicpriesttalks@yahoo.com. May God grant us the light to know his will and the strength to get it done. God bless.
And for our dessert serving on today's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler, we bring you Dr. Edward Sree and his podcast series, All Things Catholic. This episode is On Location from the Holy Land.
Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life.
Welcome to this special edition of All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree, on location in the Holy Land. We're on our very first day of pilgrimage and our very first spot. We are stopping at the beautiful Mount Carmel. Here we are. This is the great place where Elijah came in at his great showdown with the prophet Zebael. And as we're standing up here on this amazing overlook, it's a great place for us to begin as we're taking in these beautiful views of Galilee. We're seeing Nazareth. We're seeing Mount Tabor. We're seeing the Jezreel Valley. So just incredible views here. But in this spot, I like to ask the question, is God like ice cream? Is God like ice cream? Now, why am I asking that? Well, let me ask a question here. You know, people have different tastes of ice cream, right? How many people here like chocolate? If you had to pick between chocolate and vanilla, would you choose chocolate? How many people would pick vanilla? Okay. So it's a little more, maybe 60% chocolate, 40% vanilla. But is there really a right answer? No, chocolate is better, of course. No, right? It's just based on personal taste, you know, personal opinion. Like, do you like rock music, country music, classical music? Do you like football? Do you like what the rest of the world calls soccer? Do you like hockey? Do you like basketball? There's a lot of personal taste involved in these things. But is God like that? Because we live in a modern age that thinks that I can just kind of make up God to be like this. You know, God is based on my opinion, my preferences, my personal taste. Do you ever hear people say things like this? Oh, I don't think God minds if someone does this. Or, oh, I don't think God really needs us to use the sacraments and go to Mass. Or, I think God's okay if I just worship from my home today. Or, I know there's the Ten Commandments, but God doesn't really mind if I do this with my girlfriend. Have you ever heard people say things like that? Yes. We live in a culture where people just think God is kind of like ice cream. Like it's just based on my own personal taste, as if the God of the universe who created everything has to come down and conform to my little tiny idea and opinion about him. If there really is a God, he is ultimate reality. And my ideas have to conform to him, to who he is and to what he has revealed. Can I make up my own God? No. And yet, this is what we remember here in this very spot. What happened over 2,500 years ago, there were many around this land of Israel that thought that they could make up their own God. There were many of the Canaanites that had their different deities. And there were many in this time of Elijah, many in the northern tribes of Israel that fell for this, that started falling into Canaanite worship and worshiping the Baals and other deities of that time. But in the time of Elijah in particular, you have King Ahab, and he had married Jezebel, and Jezebel was the one leading people to worship the Baals. And at this moment, God broke through that darkness. He broke through all that confusion in a powerful way, and he challenged the mindset of the people and revealed himself in a powerful way right here on this very mountain. Now, we can get into whole theology of what Baal worship entailed. Baal was a storm god. He was known for lightning and for bringing the rain. But what I think is most significant is he was known as the god of fire. And that'll come into play in the story that we're going to read about in our liturgy here at our Mass readings today, and what we're going to reflect on right here. In 2 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah called on the king to gather all the Israelites and all the 450 prophets of Baal to come meet him right here on Mount Carmel. And Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to a great kind of spiritual duel, if you will. He said, all right, let you all call on God, on your deity, your God, the Baals, and ask them to bring down fire. Ask Baal to bring down fire upon these sacrifices. And then I'll call on my God, the one true God, Yahweh. I'll call on the God of Israel to bring down fire. Let's see who will win. Now, if you're a Baal worshiper and Elijah says to you, oh, you know, fire. What are you thinking? That's an easy one, right? That should be a home game. Because our God Baal, you're thinking, if you follow Baal, is he's the God of fire. So this should be really, really easy. So what happens? Which God will answer? Well, they spend the whole morning. They're calling on the name of Baal. They're saying, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice and no one answered. And they limped about the altar which they had made. So they had the sacrifices ready. They made an altar and they're calling on Baal over and over again. And then you get in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27, what I like to call the first instance of biblical trash talking. Elijah just starts mocking them as they've been calling on Baal all morning. And he says, Elijah mocked them saying, oh, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's musing, or maybe he's gone aside, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and has to be awakened. You know, even that idea of going aside, you could think of it as like, you know, going off the road to go to the bathroom or something. He's mocking the god of Baal here. And they continue trying to call on their deity, cutting themselves, crying out loud, and nothing is working. And finally, at the end, Elijah gathers these stones and builds an altar in the name of the Lord, and he's going to call on God to bring fire down. But kind of like, do you ever see a magician when they're going to do a trick, and then they do all these things to make it even harder than what you expect? That's what Elijah does here. He says, all right, I got my sacrifices. I'm getting ready to call on God to bring down fire. Well, wait, hold on. Let's throw some water on the sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, no, let's put more water. Do it a second. Oh, do it a third time. So I'm going to put all this water on here. Now, surely fire can't consume this because there's all this water on it. But he calls on the one true God, and the fire of the Lord fell down, consumed the burnt offering and the wood. And all the people, when they saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The great moment of God breaking through a time of great darkness, of great confusion, when everybody was just thinking, oh, we can just follow these deities here. No, there's one true God, and he's God over all humanity. The one true God of Israel is the God for all the human family. And he comes with great love to pierce through the darkness, to reveal himself to us. I share this story because I know as we're on pilgrimage, many of you are praying for people back at home. Some of you have family members. Some of you have children or grandchildren. You're wondering, are they going to really practice their Catholic faith? Maybe they have been seduced by the relativism, the religious relativism of our secular culture that says, oh, everyone can make up their own morality. They can make up their own religion. They can make up their own spirituality. And you're worried about your children and your grandchildren. Pray for them here, that God may pierce through that darkness like he did in the time of Elijah. Some of you have brothers, sisters, you have friends, you have co-workers, also just taken in by the relativism of our culture today. It's on this Mount Carmel that we can really remember what God did and ask him to come and shine his light in the darkness in the world once again. Because God is not like ice cream, like I get to just choose what my favorite flavor is. No, God is ultimate reality. He is truth. He does not conform to my little ideas and opinions about him. My mind, my heart has to conform to him, to his reality, and what he's revealed. So we remember the great prophet Elijah. We pray that God raises up many Elijahs today, many great bishops and priests, many great lay people that will stand up for the truth of our one true God. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go down, and we're going to go celebrate the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, where we worship the one true God on this very mountain. This special edition of All Things Catholic was recorded on November 5th, 2022, while here in Israel, while I was leading a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. If you'd like to learn more about my pilgrimages, whether to the Holy Land, to Rome, to Poland, or other places, check out my website, edwardsri.com. That's edwardsri.com. And one of the key things you want to do is get on my email list for my pilgrimages. That's the only way I announce them. So go to my website, find the pilgrimage page, and then request to be on my email list, and you can learn about my upcoming trips in the future years. Thanks for listening, and God bless. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for Catholic Radio Indy's Lunchtime Podcast Sampler for today. You can find this show in podcast form at catholicradioindy.org, along with links and directions to more of the programs we've shared. I'm Kent Blanford, and until next time, may God bless. Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.